Entitled a sermon this morning, Walk on the Water with Jesus. Some of you may have an experience of how, what it's like to get caught in a storm. For 7 months, I was stationed in Iraq, outskirts of Jordan, close to Syria, Jordan, and Iraq. I was stationed at the base, the camp called Camp Scorpion, or Prince Hussein Airfield, somewhere in the desert. Sometimes soldiers would have downtime, and they would either do their physical training, their exercise, or they will relax in their tents. One wonderful day, it was clear sky. I thought to myself, I'm going to go run. I put on my running shoes, my short, and I went running. It's about the running track's about 5 miles away from the tent city where all the soldiers stay. So while I was about 2 miles away, I looked way out. I saw the clouds of dust went up. I've heard about sand dune, sandstorm, and people were buried alive. But that day, I looked out. There it was. It was a sand dune. My heart started bounding. I was about over 2 miles away from the tent city. And it was coming so fast. I said to myself, I'd rather die in a bullet rather than die buried alive in the sand. So I knelt down, took up my shirt, and covered my head. As I heard the hissing sound, those of you been there and experienced the hissing sound of the sand coming. I was waiting for the moment that I was suffocated and just died there. Because about 20 feet high, walls of sand just coming on my way. I knelt down. My heart lifted up. I was thinking about my family, about the church, for a miracle. And then suddenly, I felt someone grab me by my shoulders, lift me up, and say, you got to run. Remember, I covered my head. I ran, and he threw me in the car. Took off my shirt, and the military police somehow, some way, got there. Never heard of that any vehicle was there at that time. The driver said, Chaplain, you're lucky we spot you and we rush to deliver you from the sand dome. Sermon this morning, Jesus was walking on the water in the midst of the storm. He was on his way to rescue his disciples that were caught in the storm. Interesting story. Chapter 6, book of John. But in the beginning of the chapter, it started with an experience or an encounter where Jesus fed the multitude, over 4,000 people. It was an amazing experience. According to the scripture, it says it was only 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 fishes. The disciples were so concerned that there was no food, and they told Jesus, let the crowd, the people go, because we cannot feed them. One of the disciples said, Jesus, I just found a little boy with 5 small barley of bread and 2 fishes. So Jesus blessed the bread, passed it to his disciples. The amazing miracle happened. It multiplied in the hands of Jesus, through the hands of the disciples. And the multitude ate, were fed, and they were satisfied. When I read the scripture, I said to myself, so what? Jesus fed the 4,000 people plus. Not mentioning children and women. When I read the scripture, so I said, so what? Jesus feed the 4,000. You know why? Because I was not there. I would not feel the experience. Some of you were at the wedding on Tuesday. I'm telling you, it was one of the great wedding banquet I ever attended. You know why it was great and was better? It was a Mediterranean wedding. The hall decorated with ancient Greek art. Zeus on the wall with fruits, basket of fruits, decorated wall with Doric and Corinthians, patterns, Egyptians. It was wonderful. The experience was different. And I was excited when they served food. Grape leaves raw. It was delicious. Greek salads of all kinds. Smoked salmon. I come from the island. I never separate myself. I always eat fish when I get the chance. That was delicious. Eggplants. Somehow they cook it in a way that was so delicious. Turkey cheese. I'm telling you, the experience makes a difference. I was there. We were on the table. We were talking. And did you taste that? Did you eat that? Little did I know, that was only the appetizer. The first course served. Our eyes open, our mouths drop open. And the second, and the third, people start walking around, I know, because they want to make some room for the best yes to God. We left. I was fed well last Tuesday. I know something, because the couple and the family, they planned it well. They knew how many people, guests, will be there. So they planned a delicious meal. And they serve it and was well fed. Very, very exciting experience. But if you were there by the Sea of Galilee, where 4,000 people, if you remember, at that time it was a feast of the Passover feast. People all over the land of Judea, they have to travel to Jerusalem to be part of the feast of the Passover feast. They were looking forward to see Jesus and be part of the miracle, experience the act of God. It was an amazing experience when people saw someone with great power can multiply food in his hand and feed the hungry multitude. If you were there, you will say, yes, it was a great experience. The Bible tells us they were so excited. And they went around and conspired together. Could it be that he is the Messiah? No doubt, one of the disciples suggests, yes, he is the promised Messiah. Let's make him king. So they did. According to the scripture, if you look at John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it tells us, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mount by himself. There you go. The people were excited. Let's make him a king. Take it with us to Jerusalem. But the Bible tells us Jesus refused the invitation. Why did Jesus refuse the invitations? Why did he? Isn't that the main reason he came? He would like people to recognize his messiahship and make him king. But why did he deny? Why did he refuse the invitations? My friends, this morning, Jesus saw the secret intentions behind the innocent desires of the people. He saw the temptations that the devil worked out through the persuasions of the people. You know what? The devil tempted Jesus to compromise his achievement of salvations of the world. But just let him be the king of this world. The temptations that was there happened in the wilderness when Jesus fasted for 40 days. Remember when the devil came to Jesus? If you are the Son of God, if you worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. It was the reason why Jesus refused the invitations from the people, allow him to be the king. Let me tell you, my friends, one of the greatest success of the devil in our time, in our society, is to allow people to shortcut. Allow people to avoid the process of going through trials and error. But let them make a shortcut so they can experience a quick fix and quick success for self-glorification. That's why Jesus refused the invitation. You know why people always try to shortcut quick success? Because failure is painful. An Army Airborne Ranger, he was learning to parachute. So the sergeant gave him order. Order number one, jump when you are told to jump. Number two, count to 10, then pull the ripcord. Number three, if the first cord doesn't open, pull the second ripcord. Four, when you land, a truck will take you back to the boat. When the airplane arrived to the landing zone, the soldier jumped when he was told to jump. He counted up to 10 and he pulled the ripcord. It didn't work. He pulled the second one. It didn't work. He said to himself, oh, great. It better be the truck. It better be the truck. I'll bet the truck will be waiting for us either. He complained. And he said, he knew because he failed two times to pull the ripcord. He said to himself, the truck will not be there either when he landed on the ground. That's why people, they try to avoid going through the process of failure. Because failure is painful. But Jesus refused the invitation. He chose no shortcut. He chose no detour. Because before the ground stand the cross. Before being grounded with glory, Jesus has to go through the suffering of the cross. That's why he withdrew by himself to the mountain. That's why he was walking on the water. Because he rejected the invitations to be crowned. Because the salvations of the world was upon his decisions to go through suffering. Suffering at the cross. May I submit to you this morning that walking with Jesus on the water is the demonstrations of the mighty act of God to restore hope in the midst of chaos. That's why Jesus refused the invitations of the crowd, refused to walk with them as a king of this world, but he prepared himself to walk on the water to rescue that disciple got caught in the storm. To walk on the water is the demonstration of the act of God. To walk on water is a demonstration that God has power to control all forces of nature and bring order out of chaos. Isaiah chapter 41, 43. If you may turn your Bible to Isaiah 41, a wonderful promise. Jesus reminds unto us, he will never fail if we go through water and storm. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3, I will read it for us. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through water, I will be with you. And when you pass through rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through fires, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. Jesus promised, reminded to us, he has the power to tame, to control the forces of nature if we are willing to walk with him underwater. How can we work? How can we walk with Jesus on the water? I'm excited as I study the passage. I always ask the question, what is there for me? How can we walk with Jesus above the water, the stormy water? If you look at verse 19 and verse 20 of the book of John chapter 6. When they have rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." We can walk with Jesus on the water when we realize that Jesus was the great I am. That was one of the reasons Jesus refused the invitation, because the people thought of him as just another prophets. The crowd thought of Jesus, he was just not a prophet to perform miracles. They did not realize that Jesus was the great I am of the Old Testament. When Jesus walked in the water, the first impressions of the disciples, he was the ghost. They were terrified. They attribute the power of God to the devil. They had a lot to learn who Jesus was. My family, this morning, for us to walk on the water, we must know that Jesus is the great I am. He has the power to control the force of nature. The chaos within our personal lives filled with chaos and problems. Let not your heart be troubled. He has the power to tame and control the storm above the water, because he's the great who I am. When Moses was sent by God to go to the people of Israel. Moses said to God, "Who shall I tell them who sent me?" God said, "Tell the people that I am who I am, send you." We can walk on the water. Trials and tribulations, knowing that the great I am invites us to walk with him on the water. The reason why Jesus refused the invitation from the people, because they look at the kingdom of God through the selfish bride of this world. If you have a time, you can check this in Desire of Ages, page 379. Chapter is called A Night on the Lake. Here's the spirit of prophecy says, it was painful to Jesus that their concentrations of his kingdom were limited to the worldly aggrandizements or exaggerations and honor. That's why Jesus refused to be crowned as king of Israel. He was all surrounded with self-exaltations and the human pride. Try to shortcut the suffering of the cross. Chapter 8, book of Matthew, tells another experience of Jesus and his disciples were on the Lake of Sea of Galilee. The storm struck, the water rise, the wind blew, and the disciples were so afraid. They did not realize the one that was on the boat is the great I am. Jesus woke and he stopped the storm. And verse 27, book of Matthew chapter 8, men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Why? Because he is the great I am. We can walk on the water when we trust that Jesus is the great I am. Some of you have visited the Hyde Park in London. Everyone allowed to go there and preach his heart out. Every infidel believes you go there, stand on that box, and you proclaim it. You have the right to preach your hearts out. One night, a preacher was there preaching the gospel. There were some believers surrounded him. And it was also an infidel tried to distract the preacher, cause all kind of problems, but he didn't tie the preacher down into an argument. Those around the preacher was one of the new convert Christians. He used to be a drunkard. His family was hell on earth, but he converted and he followed the preacher. So the infidel agnostic turned to this man and he said, "So what do you know about Christianity?" This poor man said, "Sir, I know little about Christianity. In fact, I am an uneducated person." The skeptic person said to this poor Christians, "When was Jesus born?" The poor man said, "I don't know when Jesus was born. When did he die?" He responded, "I don't know when Jesus died." The agnostic said to this poor Christians, "So you don't know nothing about Christianity." This poor man said, "Sir, I may not know when Jesus was born. I don't know when he died, but I know this. My family was in chaos. I used to beat up my wife, beat up my children. They ran away when I come home.
But Jesus changed my life when I heard this man preach about Jesus, the great I am. My friend, this morning, when we allow the great I am to enter into the chaos in our experience, we will experience peace, joy, love, and happiness. He has the power to calm the force of nature. He has the power to resolve our problem. Just allow Him to walk with you on the water. How can we walk with Jesus on the water? If you turn to Matthew chapter 14, Matthew told the same story. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Matthew, Mark, and John, they record the same account. When Jesus walked on the water, the disciples thought that he was a ghost, so they were terrorized, they were afraid. And Peter asked him, after Jesus revealed himself, Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And then verse 29, Jesus said, "Peter, come." My friend, this morning, Jesus invites us to walk with him on the water. He can sustain us on the water through the storm as long as we accept the invitations of Jesus. Come and walk with him above the surface of the water. Did you know the invitations that Jesus gave to Peter? Other commentators and students of the Bible says it was called to discipleship. When Jesus called us to walk on the water with him, he called us to be disciples of Jesus. A disciple will do whatever the master wants him to do. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, come." Out of faith, he stepped out of the water and he walked. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must obey the word of the master and do his will. Step out in faith. To be a disciple of Jesus, our eyes must pivot and focus indirect with Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus, it requires to humble ourselves without doubt in our hearts. When Jesus invites Peter to walk with him in the water, he invites him to renew his calling as a disciple of Jesus. We're here today because we call ourselves disciples of Jesus. We can walk on water with the premise that we can obey and do his will, step out in faith, focus on Jesus, and humble ourselves. And he will sustain us above the water. Jesus loved to have us walk with him on the water. Not only Jesus can sustain us above the water, but also walking on the water reminds unto us we can do nothing without Jesus. You know, Peter stepped out in faith. He walked. He felt good to walk on the water. But the temptations, the self kicks in. "I'm the only one who could walk with Jesus. What about you?" That's the problem. To walk on the water requires a total surrender and humility without doubt. But praise be to God, we can fail. We can make mistakes in our step toward Jesus. At least He was willing to reach out and lift us up. My family this morning, we can walk on water with Jesus. He's the great I am. We can walk on the water with Jesus because I am His disciples. We can walk on water with Jesus because we can do nothing without Him. He sustains us. He will support us. When we fail, He's there for us. May the experience of the disciple risk saved by grace above the face of the water be our quest, our desire this Sabbath. Let us step out in faith, our eyes on Jesus. Humble our hearts and the impact of our relationship, our discipleship will benefit all those around us, our family, our churches, our children. May God bless us as we meditate on the power of God to tame and to calm the chaos, force of nature, and the sin within us. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, may Your name be glorified. Help us to understand we worship You, the great I am. Help us to believe that we can sail through water, knowing that we can do nothing without You. Bless Your people today. Bless Your name. Help us to be faithful. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.